welcome to our show, Geek Through Air Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Anna.
Hi, I'm definitely Anna.
Well, that's always good, you know? It's good to be yourself. And Jordan?
Yeah, that's what I'm told my name is. I was also told by someone, I think, therefore I am. And then they said, I have nothing, actually. I'm just rambling. I came from the gym, and that exhausts me mentally, physically, and emotionally, spiritually. I shouldn't go there anymore.
The gym? It just breaks you down and builds you back up.
They encourage me that's the case, but we'll see if that actually happens.
Yeah. We have a Joe.
Hello. Sorry for my absence last week, and sorry in advance for my absence next week.
Yes.
I'm going to be enjoying the great outdoors. It's not my fault, Bill.
It's hot out there.
Yeah.
Joe, are you going to use a latrine, or are you going to go as a bear does?
I'm going to go as a bear, but with modern technology, I'll ride my little scooter way off into the distance. And then ride it back.
For modesty. You're not just
gonna No. What you don't realize, the bear does that too.
It also hops on its scooter.
It's true. 21st century has seen many changes.
Yes.
You should just lay one off into the middle of camp. Just set the
right in front
down.
Of everybody.
Yeah, you need to mark your territory. Assert your alphaness. It's the way to do it. I don't know.
That's true.
Pee on it. Call it
I'm
going
to pee on other people's tents.
Who is the host of our podcast?
I don't know. Who?
Bill.
Ooh, there's a Bill.
Yeah.
And you can also, I'm just going to put it right at the beginning of the podcast, because this is episode 259, and we're calling it The letter V.
Oh,
yeah.
V years. Okay.
Don't worry. Next time, I'll just call it six. You know, we're gonna pull what Super Bowl does and just, you know, change it up, whether we use, you know, Roman numerals or not.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever. Yeah.
Someday in the very distant future, we can reach your number of podcasts, the billion.
The billionth year. Ooh.
We might. Bill, you can do whatever you want. That's the power of your own podcast.
Sweet. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're starting things off with Ready Player One has a new composer. It used to be John Williams, but Steven Spielberg is doing lots and lots and lots and lots of movies.
I know, it's a steady man.
Yeah. And he cannot, and plus he even has a Netflix biography coming out too.
They didn't fight, did they? I didn't ask you that. Or is it just a conflict of schedules?
It's a conflict of schedules.
Okay, because I always worry about when like long-term collaborators suddenly are not collaborating anymore.
Oh no, because he's still working on them. He's still doing the other one.
He's in his 80s, I think.
Which one?
Williams.
Oh, possible. Maybe that's why you can't do two movies.
Yeah, that might be. He's taking it slow.
He's an ancient man.
Yeah, it happened.
It happens, yeah. It's fortunate when it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's taking over, though?
It is, I just had there, Alan Silvestri, who is known famously for
Forrest Gump.
And?
Not being Jerry Goldsmith.
Back to the Future theme song.
It's still kind of tied to Spielberg because those were produced by Spielberg.
And plus, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? All a lot of these 80s style movies that is what Ready Player One is about.
I know. Did the Zemeckis do Roger Rabbit? Who did that one?
Yeah, that was Zemeckis.
Oh, yeah. So he's Zemeckis' man because Forrest Gump and the Back to the Futures.
Oh, he did Predator? You know, the good one.
Really? That is not Robert Zemeckis, but it's still a good movie.
No, I meant the Alan Silvestri.
I like
no,
the I know. Predator inspired Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Like, did so many people.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, like Alan Silvestri.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's got a good resume, so that's a good transition.
Mm-hmm.
think he scored Philadelphia. I might be making that up.
I didn't really look at what else
random
he's done.
Random information there.
Make sure he's not. I don't know. There's all sorts. I'm not on IMDb. I should be on IMDb looking at his profile instead of, you know, some news articles. Fake news.
It gives you his greatest hits.
But yes.
Speculate. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. No one else talking about. You haven't heard it on any of the other podcasts because we're the only podcast everyone listens to.
Exactly.
I like to think that. but yeah, so that should. I'm really excited for that because getting closer and closer. That's coming out next year, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 2018.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
What is Ready Player One supposed to be about?
So, there's a really good book. Okay. The idea is that it's a post-apocalyptic future. Everyone lives in these things called the stacks. Basically, take RVs and put them on top of each other.
It's not post-apocalyptic.
It's pretty post-apocalyptic.
Dystopic.
Yeah, society's still around, but it sucks.
Okay.
Is it a little bit like District 9?
Yeah, but for everyone.
Yeah. Everyone lives like the aliens.
But VR became a really big thing, so you can hop into the VR world, and that's where people go to school. That's where people go on adventure, stuff like that. So if you can afford the VR equipment, you can go on and actually earn money, too. That can be then upgrade your VR equipment or stuff like that. Everyone, your avatar can, I'm pretty sure it can be altered. Yeah, your avatar can be altered online, but when you're in school, because you have to use your legal name and all this, because they are teaching you specifically, they're not teaching, somebody that could fake is you. It is you not looking like your avatar, and it is your real name.
So I'm just not really totally with it, but is it actually a video game or is it actually a movie that's like a video game?
Okay, the book is... Well, the VR stuff is the video game because the creator of the VR internet grew up in the 80s and they're super fan of it, so there's tons of 80 nostalgia with it. Well, one of the creators passed away, but he's the one that basically owned the entire thing and the entire company. And when he passed away... He said that whoever does these three quests wins my company.
Yeah, it's like Willy Wonka, but in a video game.
Yeah.
And the VR is basically a multi-world... Well, it's a multifunctional interface. Like it can function as a classroom or... And it does. Like, that's where children, especially destitute children, are educated. But, it has many functions. It can actually be used to play games and stuff like that. But
you just have to be in school during school times.
And they have quests. It's kind of like Sword Art Online, but they're not, like, trapped in the world. They can get out, but that's basically, like, how the society works.
Okay. But is this going to be a video game or a movie?
It's going
to
be a movie. Yeah.
Well, it's going to become a video game. But the VR companies are working on a video game.
Yeah, but this one's going to be the movie, the Steven Spielberg stuff. So.
Yeah, so maybe get excited for the movie. I very much doubt the video games are.
I know. I'm not. It would be nice.
Yeah.
I would like.
It
was
down the road.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also, the writer of the book, when this book came out, there's actually secrets written in the book, which got you to go to the first gate. Once you solved it, you solved the first gate. It led you to the second gate, then and then to the final gate. You had these little quests you had to do online or in RL and record yourself. And the winner to finish all three, back when this book came out, won a DeLorean.
Do you know when this book came out originally?
It's probably like within 10 years, I thought. Let me guess real fast. I'm going to say 2009.
What does my book say? Yeah, look,
should be right in the
front.
We
have the book right here. Nope, the front says, USA Today says it's nice, and so does the AV Club.
Copyright.
I know. I'm like 5 pages in before I get copyright
ready?
Page. Okay, what do you say?
2009.
And there's so many numbers. 2011?
Ooh.
Oh, that's pretty close.
Yes.
So it's a little
2011.
Bit, yeah, so it's a little bit newer.
Oh, so it's not even 10 years old yet.
Mm-mm.
Oh, this is the reprint. I had the special edition 2015 reprint, apparently.
Oh, okay.
It's still 2011 was...
I think I got the digital version.
Yeah, I got that version really that you have. It got it in my loot crate.
Yeah. But the first level was the figure out the code in the book, which you had to have a physical copy, so I ended up buying the digital, realized that that didn't work, and ended up getting my hands on a copy of the real I went to the library, got a copy to, you know, reference, because it was based on bottom of the pages and stuff like that, so you need it. He tried to make it so the digital worked, but didn't. That led you to a website, which then, you know, go to the website, put in the key, congratulations, now wait for the second part. Second part was a Facebook game. You had to collect various things, get a DeLorean, get parts, get all this other stuff. Back when there was lots and lots of Facebook games like this where you ran around with your characters, because there's way less now.
Yeah.
You ran with the character and you traded and all this. After you did that, you were given the key to the second one, or the second key to the gate. And then you had to wait till the third one gate opened. Third gate was you had to record yourself on an unaltered arcade machine or an unaltered Atari 2600 and get a perfect score on Pac-Man, get the highest score on Joust or another game, I forgot what it was.
Oh, yeah, because they had to do that in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's kind of cool. I want to read that book now.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty
Look at that. There you go. You have the physical book now. You can borrow. I'm not. It just sits on my shelf. I've read it. I like it.
The bill.
I've lent it out before.
Yes, it is appreciated.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take the appreciation. I'm going to straight up say, you're a liar, Bill. You said you'd start things up with two musical topics. One was not Jerry Goldsmith, Alan Silvestri. What was the second one before we segued into Ready Player One?
Before we segued, the number two was Umbrella Academy is getting a Netflix TV show. Do you know why that is? Has to do anything with music? Do you know who wrote Umbrella Academy?
No.
That was written by the former singer of My Chemical Romance, Gerard Way.
Okay. It's the guy in Goth.
That's right.
I know, Joe's in the way of the monitor. Here, you want me to move it over? Look.
Yeah, he's the...
There.
That does not look like a gothy dude.
You have to see him in the band. He's pretty gothy.
Yeah. I've seen him. Like, I saw the...
That one with red hair.
Oh, yep. There you go. Yep.
Yeah, he's pretty angsty. He's a heartthrob for Minnie, an angsty high school girl.
You know, the good thing about being that guy is that he doesn't have to mow his lawn. You know why?
Why?
Because the lawn cuts itself. Yep.
So Ready Player One.
That's an emo joke. If you all listeners missed that one, that was a good one.
Couldn't tell.
Yep. I don't even write my own material here.
So have you guys read any of Umbrella, Umbrella Academy? Okay. I got the free comic book day one.
I'm going to have to try it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, that's the consensus mostly. I got the pre-comic book. I read it, but
are they trying to just adapt the source material or to like do their own thing?
There's not a whole lot. It's got 10 episodes coming out.
Okay,
so it's already doing better than Castlevania.
Yeah, I still need to watch that.
I watched it. Did you watch it? You said you were gonna watch.
The internet. Like, I don't have Netflix. Any of that.
Jeremy, we can power through it. It's 4 23-minute episodes. It's like a movie.
You told Alex last week you were gonna watch it.
Yeah, when I get Netflix and the internet.
Oh, okay.
Sometime in the future. I don't know. It's always sporadic.
I'm also going to have to go watch it.
I have heard it's not very good. Apparently, it's not very child-friendly. I'll admit, there's some parts. Apparently, some of the parts that people are mostly complaining about, I must not have been paying attention.
What's gory parts or what?
There's a goat. There's a man. They make some sweet, sweet
loving.
Yep.
Some good old bestiality. It's very Dracula-like.
Apparently, I missed that. I'm like, oh. Because everyone's talking about, like, this is not cartoon for your kids. What else? It's already been renewed for 6 more episodes for season 2, which they did. They burned through. It's a little short, like 2-hour movie, hour and a little bit.
It is kind of a gamble, so I can see why they went that, but that's good. They went on.
I wonder how graphic the goat loving is.
No, I wonder if
I missed it.
It's in the background, maybe. Yeah, they're fighting, and you see a guy thrusting in the background.
I must have like got up and like grabbed some cereal and just, you know.
It's a short sequence, but
I'm gonna go to short sequence. 23 minute episode.
Well, I don't know.
Obviously, it's not gonna be.
It might have been an important part of it.
Oh.
Did you detect any romance, or do you think?
I told you I missed it.
Well, I mean, was there a guy and his goat, and like throughout the series, they exchanged significant looks?
He's gently feeding him carrots and taking him to the stables.
That's right, and the goat's not eating the carrots.
There was some heavy goat petting.
The carrots, maybe?
No, there was. I didn't see any goat petting.
Softly licking the carrots.
Hey, Bill.
What's up?
So, since we are time sensitive and I won't be here next week, I have to plug the movie that me and Jordan watch because it might be my favorite movie this year.
Okay, well, we'll plug your movie after we plug the people that like movies.
Okay.
And the people that like movies is AMC, Pine Ridge 11, located at 4355 Bellison Avenue. And all AMC theaters have the Stubbs program. You get to earn points for when you buy popcorn and buy your stuff there. And then you get to spend those points on more stuff. More popcorn and more stuff. And you get free popcorn on your birthday, unless you get the premiere. Then you
I
get
got
a free
$5
soda.
Off the movie I watched.
There you go.
Yeah.
I walked in and they're like, you owe us like 10 cents. I'm like, card? I don't literally have money on me. I'm sorry. All right. So what was your... great movie.
It is War for the Planet of the Apes. It's the third in the trilogy that's been going on since 2011 that was preceded by Rise and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So it's Andy Serkis in his best performance that I've ever seen Andy Serkis doing, whether live action or motion capture.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why this movie in particular is great because most of the time, if you have a solid first two movies, your rule is you have to just purposely screw up the third one to rob people of trilogies.
Apocalypse directly made that joke. Yeah. Third is always the worst because they're probably aware that Apocalypse was a really awful movie while they're doing that.
Mm-hmm. And I was really nervous about this because you watch the trailer and you're like, okay, it could be cool. But again, with Apocalypse, I was like, yeah, maybe this will be the good X-Men trilogy. And then you watch the movie and no. But this one, it's the best, Bill.
It's not a movie that would have been better without the apes.
Oh man,
Apocalypse, the movie that would have been better without Apocalypse,
because as probably you all and the listeners know, I pride myself on my movie snobbery. And this movie, he was like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, like everything that I would be a critique, he's just dodging.
Yeah.
There's no plot holes, his pacing was perfect, it was filmed with
a great tone,
all the characters are good.
I got something.
Hmm.
Caesar, the CGI looked terrible. He didn't look like an ape.
No, even that. That's what I mean. My bias against CGI. And they just made Caesar look
amazing.
So much better every single movie. So, yeah, I have no flaws with this movie. It's my first A+ of the year. Yeah.
I agree because, like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, this movie made me go, whoa.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
It was a whoa. Because I agree. Like, well, not like. There are two other movies this year that have gotten A's from me. Logan got a straight solid A from me. Baby Driver got an A- from me. This gets an A from me. Like, it's pure A. Like, everything else has been B, like B-, B+, C quality stuff. And then, this is the actual kind of movie where it attempts nuance. Because did you watch Spider-Man?
Of course I watched Spider-Man.
Yeah. That's a light, entertaining movie, and I don't regret watching it at all. It was really enjoyable.
So are we spoiling Spider-Man this week? Oh, we are.
We could have spent out for 2 weeks. Yeah.
But that's a movie.
We waited 2 weeks.
That is really good, but there's no depth or anything like that. It's just you turn off your mind and you enjoy. It's a popcorn movie. This one is an amazing movie, and it does have tons of depth, and it is totally complementary to all the previous movies. It fits in thematically, character-wise. There's no disruption there.
Nice.
It actually enhances everything that's gone before in a very brilliant fashion. It's an incredible movie, and there's no, you know, there's, I don't know, just the examination. I guess I'm prejudiced because I'm, it's a pretty misanthropic movie. Like, it's one of the more misanthropic movies I've seen. And I actually am inclined to agree with their view of how humans would behave in that situation. So I think that it's a wonderful examination, a character study of apes, of all things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
are they gorillas in the mist?
They got a few of their gorillas.
They have some gorillas, noble gorillas,
mm-hmm.
and some less than noble gorillas.
Yeah. And Bill, like I was telling you before too, the cool thing about the villain is that the villain is like on the level of, you have all just like the blindly sinister and evil villains that are just like, you hate them every moment. And Woody Harrelson is that one too, but they also balance it with that you still look at him and you're like, I hate your guts, but I totally understand why you behave this way, and that makes it even better.
Yeah, he operates with logic, logical motivation.
Well, that's the nice thing is that, because he also wouldn't see himself as a bad guy. He sees himself as a hero of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great, that's the idea of a really good bad guy. You know, like Magneto, he sees himself as a savior of the mutant race.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor, he sees himself as a savior of the human race against the alien invaders.
Well, it's not totally, like, I think some renditions of Lex Luthor are comparable to this character, but sometimes they're way over the top. And, like, you can say he sees himself as a hero, but some of the stuff he does is so sinister that it's a little ridiculous. But this guy,
obviously, you gotta read more of the comics. Lex can still get pretty sinister with his stuff.
Well,
he became president. He worked his way to presidency from crimes that made him so he shouldn't technically be allowed to run.
Right, but with this character, I think that it's more grounded. He doesn't operate on such a grand scale of evilness that Lex Luthor does. Like, he's not capable of outright genocide of every human being or that sort of thing, where it's like, I'll kill hundreds of millions, no problem. He's not that character at all.
Yeah, and he's really logical, and he has lots of consequences that make sense. And I can't really get into some of the stuff, too, because there's even, like, certain things about this movie that normally are just an accepted plot hole or accepted gimmick in lots of other movies, and they even address those because you watch lots of parts. Because there is parts like, well, this is in the trailer, like there's a part where he's like holding the gun to Caesar's head and stuff like that, so you say, oh, like, I wonder what's going to happen. He probably won't shoot him in the head, you know, stuff like that. But in any other movie, it's like the James Bond villain where he's like, keeping you alive because you're a main character in this movie now.
Yeah. Well, that's what Bond even made fun of that when they're like, you know, he's slicing him with a laser. He's like, do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this movie, it really does subvert a lot of tropes, and not just to subvert them. It actually takes them in a very interesting direction. Even takes tropes that I generally hate with all my heart. Like, it has the cute little girl who becomes friends and everything like that.
Yeah, that's from the commercials too. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
they're protecting her.
And the goofy ape that you think would ruin the tone of it, that's all like, oh, not me, because me.
The Jar Jar Binks ape. Of apes?
No, and he's awesome too.
Yeah, that girl is amazing. I love that character in that movie. Nice. And I think that's the only time I've ever looked at that kind of character and said, wow, that actually makes the movie better.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so before you get more, we'll hold off the spoilers for next week, especially when Morris can see it. What you gave it an A. What did you?
No, I give it my A plus because that's how I kind of rate, because I'm so critical of movies, and I ran through everything, and I was like, because I look at everything with how it looks, how it's directed, how it's acting, how it's paced, how they balance the character development, and I have no beefs with that movie at all. There's nothing I would change. There's nothing I could think about with the story that would have made it executed any better.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, and it's especially, this is it's basically the Bourne trilogy all over again, because like the Bourne, the first one is pretty good. I really like the first one. The second one is much better than the first one and is excellent. And then the third one is one
They switch actors.
It's so... Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you're not talking about the switching of actors one, are you?
Nope. No way. The Jeremy Renner on an old Matt Damon. I haven't even seen that one, yeah. And I never will.
So you're saying there's only three movies. There's not four. Three.
Yeah, that's all you really need. And that's what this Apes is set up the same way, too, because they might make more, too. But these ones are bulletproof from it because it's the circus, the Caesar film. So.
Well, that's the thing. It's like even with the old ones, the Caesar was only like in one or two of them. Actually, I think two. Well, he may have been in three of them. I have to go back and watch it now.
Yeah, and Caesar's so awesome. But yeah, that was the other part, too, is they kept managing to make Caesar more and more awesome every movie. In this movie, he hits his...
It really can't be overemphasized that Circus is... He makes these movies.
Yeah, he deserves the Oscar nod for that. That's why it is... That is too bad. Because like I said, with all of my bias, the Academy apparently shares too. And I think with his acting, just because he's like has a CGI gorilla superimposed over him, it's still him acting. Every motion, his facial expressions, his acting, like it's really good.
Yeah, because
you... Well, they showed him and how they put his face on Stephen Colbert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they also had Colbert do some great Twitter posts by some leader of a country.
They
were pretty good. I remember seeing Smeagol.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just look at Circus's work in CG versus all the other CG creatures out there, and it just is totally his. It's hands down. There's Circus and everything else.
Yeah.
And it's clearly attributable to his acting prowess.
Yeah, because they could have had the exact same script, same directors, just like only change Andy Serkis. It would substantially lower the quality of the movies. I still would have liked them, but he was totally... Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Caesar is one of my favorite characters. Well, the way that... Man, his character is so amazing.
Just save it for next week. How about this? We'll go into some spoilers stuff. Okay, the other things I want to talk about before we get into those things. New Warriors is going to be coming out on TV... what used to be called ABC Family, now it's called something else. I forgot. What did we figure out it was called?
Freeform.
Yeah, Freeform. So it used to be called ABC Family, now it's called Freeform. But one of Marvel's new shows coming out, it's very comedy, but the big thing is that they're going to introduce Squirrel Girl into it.
Hey!
Yes.
Is she going to be invulnerable?
Of course, she is. She's the most powerful Marvel character in the entire universe.
True. She can take on Thanos and everyone else.
Yeah, and win.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to be played by Milana and Weintraub. I'm screw up. The AT&T girl.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the one that's always in the store.
How many Marvel shows are there out right now?
I know, they're doing 32? Another X-Men.
I don't know. Seems... Well, that's a different company. That's Fox.
Yeah. They're all Marvel shows, though. They all count towards the tally marks.
Yeah. Kind of like how DC...
Yeah.
Because Marvel, actually, like, where they sold them way back when before Disney bought them, DC's like, anybody want to try it? Anything? We keep the rights, but you guys can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Is it going to be on a streaming service?
Well,
ABC
whatever
streaming service.
Yeah, well, except it's on Freeform, which is ABC Family. So it's whatever Disney and ABC Family have negotiated, because some of ABC Family stuff is on Hulu, some of it's on Netflix afterwards.
I don't know. That's what I'm rooting for.
I know ABC Family's on what's the cable? I think it's on DirecTV now. And what's Dish own?
I don't know.
I forgot which one Dish Network owns.
Cox?
No, not the cable
company.
Oh, that's
cable. Yeah. I have no idea.
I know Dish Network owns one of the bigger, more popular ones, too.
Hmm.
I want to say it starts with an S. Oh. I forget. But it's one of those.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure it's not on both of them. It's on one of them, at least.
All right. But regardless, like, I'm hoping for network television to transition to streaming service like everyone else, because... They love to abuse their shows. They like to adulterate the quality with meddling and commercial.
That's why you pay more to get rid of the commercials.
Yeah.
But she has also played. So this, besides doing commercials, she's also played on This Is Us.
Huh.
And a little more seriousness there.
I haven't seen This Is Us.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
Is it good?
Yeah, actually, it really is. Very serious. There's a lot of time period coverage, though, too.
Really? It spans how... What kind of time period?
From the 80s to modern time.
Oh, really? Is it per season, or is it just...
It's flashback style. So it's basically... Oh, okay. It is today. We flash back to the parents, or when the kids were young.
Okay.
So it starts out with a couple, and one of them has Alzheimer's, and then it's like, remember back in the day? Flashback.
No, it's more like Arrow. The kids are hanging out. It's like, remember when we were kids? The island. Arrow.
Yeah,
Arrow still?
Yeah, it's still going on. It's got another season coming up. And I really wish they would turn the soundtrack down on that and turn the voices up.
Hmm.
It's like, you know, the music, doo, 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 and then we're talking and it's so awesome. Hear us speak loudly.
Yeah, Oliver Green. He's good in Injustice too, by the way. I like him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's see. What else we got? Here we go. I really want to get that one. Okay, we'll go into Baby Driver spoilers.
Okay.
Who else saw Baby Driver?
Did you see it yet, Bill?
No.
Bill, we don't have to spoil
it. Okay, we won't spoil it.
Yeah, we shouldn't spoil it. That's another movie that has, it subverts a lot of plot points.
Okay.
It's good.
Am I the only one who hasn't seen it?
You can spoil Spider-Man if you want to.
Has everyone seen
Spider-Man?
I was going to watch it last night, but Ted...
Oh, never mind. We won't spoil that one either.
Ted got sick and we didn't make it.
That's what happened.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But why Ted's not here. All right, then. Those movies were good.
Although, seriously, Baby Driver, you should watch it.
It's a
great soundtrack.
Yes.
Yes, it is so good. And, yeah, it definitely moves with the music.
Okay.
Yeah, it's totally synced up. It's like, that deserves like best editing, because that's amazing how they tied that together. And it has a super awesome soundtrack.
Totally worth it then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should definitely go watch it.
All right.
That'll also have its permanent fixture in my top movies. I don't see it getting bumped by anything, especially if you're doing top 10.
Ooh.
It's not going to be top movie, but...
It won't get bumped.
It won't get bumped. It's that good. You can watch some that you're like, yeah, you're solid here.
Yeah, I don't see, even with everything coming up, I think it'll stick top five at least. Planet of the Apes is the one that everyone will have to war for. Well, I don't know. Planet of the Apes and Logan. Yeah, I don't know.
I like Planet of the Apes
more
than
Logan. What about Leprechaun 2? Doesn't Leprechaun 2 hold it?
Well, that has its permanent place. Like, that's
Rocky
the
Horror
star.
Picture Show?
No, because... Yeah, the only reason Apes beats Logan is because Logan just slightly does have some pacing issues when I rewatch it. There is parts that it's not like as consistently
engaging. Have you watched
engaging.
The noir version yet?
No, I still need to watch that. But well, I love Logan. That is so minor. That is just like a little bit. There's just that extra oomph of Apes.
Yeah, I can see them oscillating back and forth because they're essentially the plateau quality movie. And so it's just basically... What have I eaten this morning that changes which one's on top?
Okay.
So.
Well, then next week will be lots of spoilers, apparently.
Yeah, you guys.
But what else? Oh, so we've been at this for 5 years. That's why the episode's called The Years. And you also can contact us by calling 801-896-4335. Apparently, because it's a Google Voice phone message. It occasionally goes to dead air. Just hang up and call back. I don't know why it does that.
Bill, are we going to have a vendetta on this episode?
No, victory.
We're going to have a victory.
Victory.
B for victory.
Yeah. Yes. Classics.
All right.
You can email us with questions or any of the fun stuff at geeksawired@gmail.com. And what's the other fun stuff? I don't know. We follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We don't tweet a lot, but we Instagram. Actually, I've been falling behind on that. We're just going to go straight to famous last words. Unless anybody's got something else they really want to talk about.
Well, the only thing I would say that is about Spider-Man is that it finally... Because Loki, come on. Like, he's not really a villain.
Okay,
like, I'll give people
that
Avengers has Loki, and that is cool. But, like, the way they're treating Loki, he's kind of like the,
Okay, I did hear about that.
I mean,
he was
straight up villains.
The best villain in the Marvel
universe. Yeah, like, for the MCU, Vulture.
Loki is Loki's definitely way up there.
No, Loki's,
but he's had lots and lots of movies to base it off of.
No, but that's what I'm saying. He's like, they're making him like, people loved him so much that especially they kind of took it back after Avengers 1, where they're like, he's not really a straight up villain. He's just Loki. He's the guy that you kind of hate, and sometimes he's on your side.
I also forgot the important thing about Spider-Man. You have to stick around to the end of the credits.
Yeah, that's true.
Because patience is wonderful.
I know, you get your two scenes.
Yeah, you get one mid-credit and one after. But patience is very wonderful. Mm-hmm. And if you do not think patience is wonderful, you can definitely write in or call in. And I'll accept that.
Yeah, that's what did you guys all grade Spider-Man? Because I agree with Jordan. Oh, yeah. I think it's second to Spider-Man 2. Yes. That's still my favorite, but it's better than even Raimi's first Spider-Man.
Yes. Well,
it's definitely better than the Garfield
actually,
ones.
No, because Spider-Man 2 is one of the top Spider-Mans.
I know. That movie's too awesome.
Like a superhero movie.
I know. It's, yeah. But yeah. Homecoming is better than all the other Spider-Man movies, yes, except for number 2.
Can you give it good?
Yeah, I gave it a B+. I really liked it. Like Spider-Man 2, that I also would give, and I'm not sure A or A- for me, but yeah, clearly the best Spider-Man.
There's one power he's missing.
Which one?
Never saw it. Spider-Sense.
Oh, yeah, I read an article where they said maybe he just didn't need to use it because his suit was too awesome.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, that's they underpowered him essentially like Garfield, but even more. But then yeah. Tony Stark comes along and superpowers. Well, he's probably the most powerful exactly. Spider-Man right now.
Yeah, well, then that's because the thing suit. Is, like, is he even talking? Or, like, was the suit his power? Like, oh, if I have that power, I'm nothing. It's like, well, then you don't deserve the suit. And so it was like, there was the question that was brought up. So it's just, is he just powerful because of the suit? Like, no, he is like Hulk powerful. Like, him and Hulk have one-on-one. Like,
really?
Yes. He is stupid powerful.
I got the impression that he is basically Captain America with a Spider-Man suit.
He's so much stronger.
Yeah, huh. That's what I felt like in the movie, because with his lifting, because even his big moment when he's like, whoa, I was like, yeah, Captain America could do that too.
The Hulk could easily do what he the Hulk did. Would just shrug it off.
Well, he also needs to identify his powers like that. Like, Hulk is with the rage, like Superman. Like, Superman still, like, stresses and everything, but you know, he really doesn't need to. Hulk stresses, but he really doesn't need to. And, you know, that's why I liked about this Spider-Man. It's not, like, it's not Amazing Spider-Man. I think it's Amazing. I don't know, whichever one where...
It's Garfield.
No.
Yeah.
The
stuff built. He actually has to build it.
No, Garfield had to build it, too. It's the Maguire can naturally produce the web.
Well, in the comics, it's one of them. It's not Amazing. It might be Ultimate.
I thought in the comics that was more accurate, that he couldn't
one
produce
of the
web.
Either Ultimate or one of the others, it actually is built in, but it's only one of them. The rest of them, he always has to build it himself.
Huh. Yeah.
All right, yeah, actually, do we have to wrap up now?
Okay.
So, famous last words, go!
Say, yeah, sorry, Garfield, Tom Holland's better Spider-Man, but it'll open doors. He did two great movies last year, so I don't hate Andrew Garfield. Gotta be clear on that. I just hate him as Peter Parker. That's it. That is all.
Yeah. Caesar crossed the Rubicon, and he won. He totally annihilated. Hail Caesar, Vina Vidi Vici.
So, Ready Player One. It says New York Times bestseller, Enchanting. Willy Wonka meets the Matrix. I really want to check out this book. It looks pretty cool. Thanks, Bill. I'll get it back to you.
All right. Oh, I also forgot. They're making a new show. It's called DuckTales. Woo!